Stay full of the Holy Ghost. And I can be led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God wants to lead you. He wants to empower you. This is not something you got to beg God for. This is just something that you need to say, okay, Lord, let's go. I'm ready. Lead me. Don't let me make a mistake. Lord, lead me right now. I want to be led. You just got to have the want to. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm giving God the, okay, Lord, go ahead and do it. Lead me now. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and lead me now. And the Holy Ghost take over the reins. He started leading you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how Jesus walked. He walked by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Number two, Jesus walked in divine wisdom. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you can walk in the same wisdom he had. See, when the Bible says that if we say that we abide in him, we ought also to walk even as he walked. I'm just giving you a few pointers on how he walked. He walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He stayed full of the Holy Ghost. Number two, he walked in the wisdom of God. Amen. Let me give you some scriptures on it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you him, and then I'm going to show you you. Let's look at Jesus. Matthew 13:54 says, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They say, wait a minute. Where did this man get all his wisdom from? So Jesus was walking in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Let me give you another witness. Mark 6:2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence have this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? He said, who gave him, this time they say, who gave him all his wisdom? How many of y'all know where real wisdom comes from? Come from your fellowship with the Father. Real wisdom come right out of the Word.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. Last week we did verses 1 and 2. And of course, we want to pick up at verse 3. Actually, for those of you while you're turning, I'll start at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all manner of mysteries and all understandings, and have all faith that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the hungry, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profit me nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Verse three is where I want to focus and hear what Paul is saying, not only to the church at Corinth, but to the believers alike. We've been dealing with love in this month of February, and we're trying to help the believer to understand the position of love that must be a part of every believer's existence. Paul has just made clear here, though he were gifted in all of these areas, though he had the ability to do major and marvelous things, though he himself had been anointed with a powerful understanding of spiritual matter, that even if he sacrificed all of his worldly goods to help feed the hungry, the poor, and then made the ultimate sacrifice of giving his body to be burned as a martyr for the name of Christ, for the kingdom of God. Even if he did all of that and did not have charity or love, then it says he profits nothing. Now, I think that's so powerful that it just goes over many of our heads, because what we're missing in what he's saying in these first three verses, verse 4 through verses 8, he starts dealing with what love is and breaking it down and what it's not. But before he gets there, he establishes the fact that he's not just talking about love in the abstract. He's not talking about love as the letter of the law, but love as the spirit of the law. So he's making clear here, though he abides by the letter of the law, meaning that he does what the law says to do, going through the actions and through the motions and going through the details and all of those things in the flesh, in his movement, but if his heart isn't in it, if he's serving but his heart is not in his service, if he's giving but his heart is not in his giving, if he's living supposedly as a believer but his heart is not there, he does not profit anything. And the believer must understand, it don't make sense to live in hell, go through hell, die and go to hell from the church house. That's the long way around to hell. You might as well just go on and enjoy yourself and not try to pretend and perform, because it's going to be worse on those who are pretending and performing. Plus, you miss out on the fun you could have had in the flesh. Trying to act like you all of that. See, when you start acting like you are more than what you are, when you are more than where you are, and you have more than what you have, it's a pretense. And I got news for you. When you're filled with the love of God, you ain't got to pretend and perform. Better is a little that a righteous man has than the riches of the wicked. You learn to be satisfied and grateful to God with the little bit that you have, knowing that as you honor God and obey God, listen, he maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. You ain't got to be jealous of nobody, hating on nobody, being envious of nobody. If it's something you want, the same God that blessed him or her with it can bless you with it too. All of us were not called to be the same thing, have the same purpose, same function, same identity. God made each of us individually to be what he desires us to be. But here is the thing. With all of us, no matter who we are, high or low or anywhere in between, all of us who belong to him ought to be filled with his love, because he is love. We ought to be able to sense the desire of God through us because of his word, because of his will, because of his way, because of his spirit that resides on the inside of us. Listen, but too many of us have somehow caused what God is looking for to be etched out of their lives. And we know how to play church on Sunday. But the truth of the matter is, God is watching us, and it's not just that church. And God wants us to be able to demonstrate who he is everywhere we are. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, so we tell them. We are Christians, born again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, a called out body who's not ashamed to tell you what's on the inside of us. Why? Because what he's done for us, we could not do for ourselves. Now look at verse 3, and then I'm going to move on right quickly. Because verse 3 again says, and though I give, I bestow all my earthly goods to feed the hungry, to feed the poor. Listen, and though I give my body to be burned. Now, he moves from one sacrifice to the ultimate sacrifice. He gives all of his worldly goods. He bestows them. Nobody takes that away from him. He gives it. He renders it as an offering. He willingly lets it go for the purpose of feeding those who are less fortunate. And that's honorable. That's honorable. But here, beyond the action, Paul deals with the motive. You see, what we don't realize is, man judges the outward appearance. Somebody see you do a good thing. Oh, that's a good man. Oh, that's a good woman. They do such and such. But the question is, why are they doing such and so? Would they do it if somebody were not paying attention? Would they do it if nobody would pat them on their back? Would they do it if nobody were able to give it back to them or give them accolades about it? What is their motive? And see, when you begin to recognize that your motive should be love. Love prompts you to do good. Love prompts you to help others. When Jesus gives the illustration about the Samaritan and the Jews and the Samaritan being beat down, and Jesus talks about how all of these folk pass by on the other side, but the Samaritan stops and he helps this man and brings him to the inn and leaves money so that he could be taken care of, and on his return trip stop back in if he's made any other charges before he gets back to bless him. He said, now which one of these were neighbor to this man who fell on bad times? And they had to say, not his own kin, not his own people, but the person that was supposed to not be someone they cared for. But love made him reach beyond ethnic lines, racial lines, beyond all of the divides that said, wait a minute, this man is in help and might die without my help, so I'm gonna put all this petty stuff aside and help him. Love makes you do things like that. And so Jesus makes clear to us, and Paul reiterates this because he's trying to help us understand, we've got to learn how to get beyond the letter of the law only and get into the spirit of the law. Love, love, not just because it says love, but love because it is a part of who you are. And so when he does deal with this point as it relates to him giving up everything he has, and he deals with that motive, he says, or if I give my body to be burned. Notice again, nobody is forcing him. He's willingly sacrificing his body to be burned as a martyr. Perhaps he may be stepping in for someone else. Perhaps he may be showing them a greater cause for the cause of Christ, that Christ might be lifted up in his witnessing, whatever the case may be. But he gives his body to be burned is the ultimate sacrifice, because when he's through doing that, there is nothing left for him to do. And when they look at this, Paul says, and with all that he has done, listen, and have not love, it profited him nothing. Profited him nothing. So my brothers and sisters, if you are going through the motions, I'm just trying to tell you, save your time. I don't care whose name is on the church roll. If the real church is not in your heart, save your time. I don't care what boards or what ministries you serve in. If you're just going through the motions and you're just doing what you can do because somebody asked you to do it, and you just again walking through those things, but it is not because it is a call upon your heart and your life, and you do it because you love God and you love the brethren. Listen, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. And so my brothers and sisters, when you recognize that, when you love them because Christ loved you with an everlasting love, you freely receive, so you freely give. I thought this message might be quiet today, but I'm going to preach it even the longer, because we're going to preach the hate and the hell out of some folk here today. Listen, listen, because here is what you need to know. You, listen, many times stand in the way of other folk blessings when you go through the motion just playing.
Somebody's on their way out of here and they need some help and they need some support and they need somebody who's real. The reason why Jesus got rid of the fig tree when it advertised that it had figs on the tree was because folk were traveling and they were hungry and it was the last resort and they lost time on the road, getting off the road, going, look at the tree, only to find out it wasn't a fig worth eating on the tree. And when you keep on with all that false advertising, because that's all it is, God gets upset about that foolishness because some people turn away and never come back again. But he says, it profited me. So my question is, why do you do it? What's in it for you? Because if you're doing it for man's praise, I'm going to tell you another thing. You might as well save that because man is so fickle, he'll praise you with one tongue and turn around with the other one and curse you out. He'll holler, Hosanna, Hosanna on the one hand and then turn around and say, crucify him on the other. And so it really profits you nothing, meaning nothing in the eternal realm of God. You might fool some folk down here, but guess what? You ain't fooling everybody. And you're not fooling God at all. At all. So you need to tell him, give me a clean heart, a sincere heart, that I might teach transgressors your ways. You need to be real with God so that everything that you do winds up being a blessing and a profit to you, not only here, but in the hereafter. And then if you had time to go through the rest of the verses, which we do not have time today to do, I admonish you to go through them and see all that Paul is talking about. And then he gets to that 13th verse and he says, now abideth. And now abideth. Faith, hope, charity. These three. And now abideth. Let's pause right there. And now abideth. Now abideth as opposed to what? Opposed to everything else that he just got through talking about. Because see, when it's all said and done, all the rest of that he just got through telling you will be done away with. All of that will be done away with. And so if it's done away with, then where is your profit in that? So he says, and now abideth. That means it continues on. It ever lives. What lives? Faith, hope, and love. These three. One school of thought says these are the three contenders. These are the three that have everlasting connections with them. These are the three that made it across the finish line. It is these that he speaks of and lifts up as an abiding reality. And listen at this, because if it is abiding reality, then that is something worth holding on to. Holding on to my faith, and I won't let go. Listen at this. Faith is believing in. It's believing in. Hope is the cheerleader of faith. It is the support system for faith. Hope is the one that says, faith, hold on. You can do it if you try. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory. Hope just cheers faith on. In hope. Hope is hoping in something. But love is of God. Let me help you understand that, because I see right there by you, just passed right over your head. You see, faith is in, hope is of something hoping of and for, but love or charity is of God. It is a part of his makeup. God is love. If he is love and love is God, then it's a part of his natural makeup. That's why when the writer says these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because this is the greatest expression of God. Love is the greatest expression of God to mankind. Nothing greater than love. Nothing greater. And when you begin to recognize that his love is the greatest thing he's given to you, from him, through his son, and through his spirit, you will desire to know his love intimately. The God kind of love, the agape love, the everlasting love, the love that says I'm married to the backslider, the love that said I'll never leave you nor will I ever forsake you, that love that'll buy you back off the auction block, that love that will keep you when you can't keep yourself, That love that'll show up anywhere you are and claim you as its own when others would be ashamed of you. That's the kind of love that God has for us. My brothers and sisters, he wants us to demonstrate in us what he's done so that we, through others, might shed this kind of love abroad. God is looking for you, and if you're going to be a witness of him, that means you got to have some of him in you to do it. You've got to show them God. Look, Bible says no man has seen God at any time. So if they've never seen, how do they know he exists? By the love you demonstrate to them. And when you can't demonstrate no love, they start thinking God is not real. Now, my brothers and my sisters, know this, that the love God wants you to demonstrate is going to give you and those with whom you come in contact the opportunity to draw nigh to God in a way that blesses you on this side and on the other side to come. The greatest of these three is love. God bless you. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are. Just soft music, please. Soft music, no song, just the doors of the church are open. You would think the church would rejoice at a message of love, but it shows you how deeply entangled the church is with the ways of the world and with the hatred of the world. People come to the church hurting, looking for help, needing an answer, wanting a change. And many times, because of what they find in the church, they leave worse than when they came. And there was nobody there to see their pain and offer any help about it. There was no one there to help comfort them in their times of trouble.